Okay, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. How many of you ever had any doubts about faith? And how many of you allowed the enemy just to beat you up over it? If you were really a Christian, you wouldn't doubt the resurrection, you wouldn't doubt this, you wouldn't doubt that, you wouldn't doubt something else. How many of you, if you were to walk with Jesus for 3.5 years, think the doubts would have been gone? You don't know, do you? Because they weren't. I just want to show you a couple things this morning, just simply about the disciples. Remember when Jesus said, you know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and on the third day I'm going to rise from the dead, and Peter said, be it far from you. You know, the 11 disciples that were still left were filled with doubt about the resurrection. Turn with me to Matthew. Let's just go through this quickly, then I'm going to get to the main meat. Matthew 28. Matthew, we're just going to go Matthew 28, Luke 16, Mark 24. Luke 24. Verse number 16 in Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. They were worshiping in doubt. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Mark 16. Keep in mind, this after the resurrection. Mark 16. Verse number 12. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he was risen. Don't beat yourself up because sometimes a doubt comes in your mind. Luke chapter 24 is really interesting. Luke chapter 24. Why did God put this in there? So we can deal with some of our doubts that the enemy tries to bring in our mind, or we don't understand something, so we start doubting. We just start saying, how can that be? You ever been there? Come on. I've been there. I'm not staying there, but we pass through that. Look at this one. Luke 24, verse number 10. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with him who told these things to the apostles. But their words seemed to them like idle tales or nonsense, and they did not believe them. Isn't that interesting? You know, God never left anything out of the Bible. He tells it like it is. He just tells it like it is. And so we have people, well, I can't serve God because I have some doubts. Let God reveal himself to you and the doubts will go. Amen. How many know that Thomas had a couple doubts? Yeah. Thomas have some doubts? Unless I do what? Unless I put my fingers in his hand in his side, I won't what? I won't believe. Do you realize that Thomas went into India, preached Christ? And they were standing on the riverbank, and they were throwing water up in the air and watching the sun shine through the water, and they worshiped the reflections. So Thomas had to have some way to get to a place where they'd believe in the true God. What did he do? History tells us. He took water, threw it up in the air, and it stayed there. Just stayed there. And according to John G. Lake, there was a major revival in India. You know, don't just cover up your doubts, deal with them. You ever go through a hard time? Do you ever ask God, where are you? Where is he? He's the same place he was when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Same place. So don't let your doubts bring confusion and just frustration and beat yourself up over something. Just deal with them. Be like the man who came with the son that had epileptic seizures. Lord, I believe what? Help my unbelief. Come to a place where you're saying, God, I believe. Just help what doesn't believe. Because remember, with the natural mind, you don't discern things. It's not the mind you have to worry about. It's your spirit. The spirit is absolutely willing to transform your mind so we come into where God wants us to be. Now here's what happens. All over this world there's revival. How many know that? All over this world there's revival. And some of the churches in America are now saying, well, that can't be. If you have God in a box, just open the lid, okay? Let him out. He's not in your box anyway. So when we start seeing things and hearing things, don't let the first thing, ah, that can't be. Who said God can't do it? Basically, somebody said God can do everything but fail us. He doesn't do that. Turn with me to John 14. There's some things just to look at. When you really stop and look at resurrection, you got to realize something. And maybe my mind is just starting to work overtime. You know, Jesus was human, right? But he was still God. So he goes to Lazarus' tomb in the midst of a lot of unbelief. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. I mean, that's a good way to start a conversation. And Jesus tried to get them to understand, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me shall never die. And so Martha gets Mary. Mary comes back, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And so finally Jesus says, take me to the tomb. Roll away the stone. Do you ever stop and think Jesus knew he'd be in one of those? What do you think? Jesus knew he'd be in one of those. I want to tell you something. It's a lot different when you're praying for somebody with a disease than if somebody's praying for you and you have the disease. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a lot different. Jesus says, Lazarus, or he tells Martha, roll away the stone. And she said, but he stinks. And Jesus said, did I not tell you? If you but believe, you would see my glory. So they roll away the stone and Jesus cries, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes out. Knowing that he likewise one day be in that tomb. Knowing that he someday would have that stone rolled up against the door. He stops the funeral procession of the widow of Nain. He raises the dead. The spiritual Jesus understood a lot. The natural Jesus faced some things just like you and I did. And you and I do. And so now comes the time. He's the one that's going to be in the tomb. You may say no big deal, but you weren't the one being put there. You may say he knew the word of God, but you weren't the one that was in there knowing the word of God. You may say everything is fine. We weren't the one going to the cross. And you may say, Pastor, what are you saying? Jesus had to deal with some human emotions like we do. Although he was 100% God, he was still 100% man. And sometimes we like to take that man part out of the equation, don't we? Because we think that he just functioned as God. He didn't. He had to be filled with the Spirit. He had to be energized by God, the Father. He had to come to a place where his total confidence and trust was in his Father who sent him. You believe that? Yeah. And so he was walking. Do you believe that? Yep. He was walking like we do. Because can I tell you something? How many have God in them? But how many are still human? Do you ever stop and think sometimes we walk a little bit like Jesus? I'm not saying we're Jesus. Please don't misunderstand me. But how many have the Holy Spirit within you? How many believes he's God? So we walk as Christians, believers, children of God, and yet we walk in humanity. And we face things, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. We face things that we have to deal with as humans, with the backup of the Spirit, which we need to be controlling that humanity. And if you're like me, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't let the Spirit control the humanity. Amen or oh me? John chapter 14. Bill Gaither wrote a song, Bill and Gloria, from this verse. And it says this: a little while longer and you world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. What? You will live also. Because I live, you can face tomorrow. Because I live, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. That okay? So let's look at this. Because Christ lives, this gospel of the kingdom of God is being preached worldwide this morning. Some service is already done. There are supposed to be 1 billion believers on planet Earth. 1 billion. Last I heard, there was 5 billion on planet Earth.
Seven. Just under seven.
So we got 2 billion now, believers?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'll raise it one. So we have over 1 billion because there's people being saved right now. What is the gospel? The good news. 1 Corinthians 15 says, the good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen by the disciples, and he was seen by 500, some who are not alive yet at that time. That's the gospel. If you cut out the resurrection, you just have a pill. There's nothing there. If Jesus died for us on the cross and he's still in the grave and you can go to his tomb and you can see his bones, this gospel is not complete. You have no hope, you're still in your sins, and there's nothing to preach. A lot of people have died. But because he lives, you also have resurrection life.
Yes, sir.
I want you to say that with me, and I want you to understand it. Say with me, I have in Christ resurrection life. I'm alive for eternity. Resurrection life. Resurrection life means You're empowered by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Because of that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He brings life into this physical body. By the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead. We live a lot by how we feel. Anybody know that? How about living our lives together through the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and we walk in the glory of God, and we walk with the purpose to glorify God no matter what we're going through? I had kind of an epiphany, whatever that word means, I'll tell you later. I came in this morning and I was just sitting around, minding my own business, working on something. Didn't like it, so I started over. I thought I had a couple, three messages. You know, if I've only been preaching this gospel for 40-some years and have 40-some Easter Sundays, and you come to a place, what am I going to preach that people haven't heard? So I talked to Pastor Paul. He's only been preaching for about 10 years or 8 years. He's got 35 more years to catch up. And I'm sitting there, and I don't even know if it came from where. But I'm thinking, what if suddenly you come to a place where you have an incurable disease? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And you know, you ever been there? You have things running through your head, you have running through, and I'm thinking of that appointment with the doctor, and they say you only have a month to live, or you only have a day to live, you only have this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get in my car, drive up the highest place in the hills where I'm close to God, and I'm going to say, God, unless you heal me, I'm coming right now. I'm coming. Why worry about it? Why fight it? Why be afraid of it? Why hide from it? God, I'm coming. You might as well beam me up right now, because I'm staying here until you heal me or you take me. Why not? Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. You can live that way. You can live that way. We fight all kinds of fears. We fight diseases. We fight problems. We get all nervous. We make ourselves sicker by worrying about it. Just tell God, God, you got Jesus up there, and that's good enough for me. I'm coming.
Amen.
Whoa. True. Because He lives, you live. God doesn't want you walking your whole life focusing on your death or somebody else's. You look at me like, yeah, that proverbial calf. Looking at that new gate. But it's true. What do we have to lose?
That's right.
I'm serious. We're not going to survive this life if Jesus waits another 100 years. We know and we believe. Don't we believe in our resurrection too?
Yes, sir.
Don't we believe that the Bible's for me?
Yes.
For you? Don't we believe that God has His hand on our lives, and He's leading us and He's guiding us and He's directing us? So why in the world are we living a life, and we're going to get there in just a moment, in fear and doubt and frustration and anxiety? But we do. And we don't have to. We don't have to. Because He lives, not only do we live, but because He lives, all fear is gone and I can face tomorrow.
Amen.
If you're sitting here today worrying about tomorrow, you're wasting your time.
Amen.
Come on. You don't even know if you're going to have tomorrow, so why worry about it?
Right.
Hello? Did Jesus ever talk about tomorrow? Seemed like I read someplace, tomorrow has enough evil of itself, so be concerned about today. Turn with me, I got to look this up. Luke chapter 12, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Luke 12, 22. Come on, you can laugh in church. It's okay. Come on, you can enjoy it. You can laugh with me or at me. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And I'll enjoy that steak of yours I'll eat when we get home. Then he said to his disciples. Verse 22. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Okay? How many is worried about your life? You wouldn't answer now anyway. What you shall eat, nor about your body, or what you shall put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, not the Baltimore Ravens either. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you so anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, how they toil nor spin, neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is tomorrow, which is today, is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all the things that nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows your need of these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, I want you to look at verse 32. I want you to see this. Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
It's the Father's good pleasure. The Father enjoys, the Father's intent, the Father's desire, the Father's purpose, the Father's plan to give you the kingdom.
Yes.
And we're worried about a meal?
Yep.
We're worried about clothes? God says, I'll take care of that too. Because I want to give you the kingdom. As I sat there this morning just writing some stuff down, I started thinking. I started thinking what we've been through in this body. We've been through car accidents. We've been through cancer. We've been through heart. We've been through farm crisis. We've been through diseases and pains and suffering and financial shortage and marriage problems and all these things we've been through. There's not much we haven't. We've been through death. There's not much you haven't been through. So why worry now?
That's right.
Why look at things differently than we looked at them when we were going through them? Well, you know, there are times that we have to remember, and I'm going to tell you in a few minutes to forget, but before I tell you to forget, there are times we have to remember where God has led us, where we've been. And you know something? You're still here. No matter what you've been through, you're still here. You're still breathing. You're still walking. You're still working. You're still living. No matter what. You're either very resilient or you haven't been through anything. And so God looks at us and said, what is there out there that you have to be afraid of? What's out there that you have to worry about? What is out there that gets your mind and gets you anxious? What's out there that's going to ruin your day?
Right.
We've been through it. And you know something? If you remember, he got you through it. He brought you through. It's no different. Forgive me, but it's no different than the resurrection. God told Jesus, the Father told Jesus, yeah, you're going to be in that tomb for 3 days, but then you're going to come out. Just like he's telling us, fear not. It's my pleasure. It's my desire. It's my goal. It's my purpose to give you the kingdom.
Yes.
The kingdom. So he's calling us wherever we go, whatever we're doing, we're manifesting the kingdom of God in satanic territory. We're living in it, and we are overcomers of it.
Amen.
And we walk it, and we live it, and we breathe it, and we speak it, and we share it. Why? Because that's God's plan. That's God's purpose for your life. If you're still breathing, you're alive. And when you stop breathing, you're more alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Put that in your pipe. I mean, put that. That wasn't quite the right word. My mom used to look at me and say, yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it. From a long time ago. It works. Some of you understood, and some of you are saying, what's he doing now? He's been out behind the church puffing. It's okay, Albert. I'll get you in the morning. But we come to a place where God says, I got you this far. What makes you think you're not going to make it? What makes you think you're not going to make it? I want you to understand something. You have faith. But sometimes we're just like the 12 spies. Two of them had faith that God would deliver them. 10 had faith that the giants would kill them. Come on.
That's right.
We need to be like the two.
Yes, sir.
I love what God said about Caleb. He has a different spirit. I want a different spirit.
Yes.
I want a different spirit. I want a spirit that's bathed in the Word of God, a spirit that no matter what's going on, trusts God, a spirit that matter no what the no doesn't matter what the report is, I believe God.
Yes.
I trust God. I walk with God. I live with God. I base it on God. Don't let your human mind dictate what's going to happen, because we get our mind transformed. Closing with this. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, as he is in the world, so are we. As he is, so are we in this world. So as Christ is, we're alive. We're alive. You know, the greatest hindrance to your successful future, one of the greatest hindrances is your past. And you may say, what are you talking about? The revivals of the past usually persecute the revivals in the present. They're not as spiritual. They're not as godly. They're not as good. You sing the wrong music. You do the wrong stuff. Who said that? God didn't. And the things that we've had in the past usually try to dictate what we're going to do in the future. Paul says this, knowing that I haven't apprehended, this one thing I do. Raise one finger with me. Say this with me. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching out to what's ahead. I press toward the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. This one thing I do. I don't live in the past. There's some nice memories back there. There's some terrible memories back there. There's some things back there that we need to forget. That means do not bring it up to your remembrance again. Let it go. Don't beat yourself up with the past or beat somebody else up with their past. We live now. We live today. This one thing I do, I close my mind to the past and I press on for the future. You can destroy yourself by remembering your mistakes and your failures. Get over it. Let it go. It's a new day. It's a new day. And if you dwell back there, all the things that mistakes and things you would have done different, and if only and what if, you're going to live your life looking over your shoulder the rest of it. And God says, don't you trust me that I redeemed you from your past? Don't you trust me that I cleansed your past? Don't you trust me that all your sin, not just half of them? You might have made a mistake yesterday. Get over it. You say, oh, that's so soon. What do you have to do? Do penance? Huh? Okay, here's our penance for the day. Run 3 laps around the church and come back in and pray for 2 hours. You say, well, I won't do that. Well, your past wasn't that great, huh? Wasn't that bad either. We don't do that. We come to Christ and say, God, I messed up. That's all I do. Are we in the wrong church? You know, are we some other denomination? Because you look at me, I never heard that before. Well, you should have. Christ was beat up so you wouldn't have to be. Wow. Can we believe that?
Yes, sir.
Can we accept that? And can we offer that to someone else? Can we offer that to someone else that we remember all their things? Can we just let it go? Come to a place of just saying, if God was big enough to do it, so am I. If God is big enough to forgive and let heal and go on, I'm there too. Let it go. You'll walk in victory. You'll walk in power. You'll walk in anointing. You know, if you want to get even with somebody, God's going to move out of the equation. He'll say, go ahead. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You know how the Lord repays him? He forgives him.
Yes.
And he's trying to teach you to do the same thing, and me too. Because as he is, so are we in this world.
Yes.
As he is, not as he was. As he is right now. For those of you that weren't here on Friday night, as I was getting ready to do Jorgensen's service on Thursday, I started thinking about Judas. Do you remember Jesus, knowing what was in the heart of Judas, washed his feet? Can you think about that? Jesus, knowing what was in the heart of Judas, washed his feet and served him communion. Love covers what?
Multitude of sins.
Praise God.